All right, welcome back to another episode of Keep Chopping Wood. Please keep rating and reviewing us on iTunes or whatever platform that you happen to be listening to us on. It's a big help to the show. It's helping our outreach a ton. Ryan, what episode are we on now?
Sweet 16.
Episode 16. It's still crazy to me that we've done 16 of these, that you guys have listened to us for 16 weeks, but thank you for doing that. Like I said, keep giving us positive reviews and subscribing on whatever platform that you're using. And tweet at the Keep Chopping Wood handle. We're starting to get a ton of outreach to the actual Twitter handle now in terms of submitting questions in for our question and answer session at the end of the podcast. So you guys have been really great about interacting on that. Ryan's doing a good job running the handle and everything. And also make sure that you're checking out Big Cat Country too and interacting with the Big Cat Country account on Twitter. So for this show, we're gonna recap the Bears game a little bit, and we also have a guest, my close friend online in real life, Sully Football. He hosts the I Hate Sully podcast. He belts out about 3 episodes a week on there. You can follow him on Twitter at Sully Football. Sully, how you doing tonight, man?
Good, man. Thanks for having me, man. I'm pumped up to record with my son and Scott. I was pretty excited about the invite.
Yeah, man. Hey, let's leave inside things inside for right now. Sully, if you don't follow him, he's a very, very knowledgeable Chiefs fan. So we have the Raiders for this upcoming week. So he's really knowledgeable on all things AFC South. His team, the Chiefs just played the Raiders last week. And we were just talking about before we went on, Sully, you live in the Virginia DMV area. So, and weirdly, just the way that the TV schedules have worked out, the Jaguars have been like the local broadcast out there, and you've caught a bunch of their games so far this year.
Yeah, it was weird because of the way, like, the Redskins and you know, because we had the Redskins and the Ravens here. So the way their schedules were in the beginning of the year and who the Jags' opponents were, they just kept lining up as the TV game, man. So, and then, of course, we've talked about how shitty the 1 o'clock schedule has been. So, you know, if you're going to stream a game, I'd rather at least stream that so I can make fun of you guys a little bit.
Yeah, I was going to say, Sully, even though he is a Chiefs fan, he's never been one to shy back from giving opinions about the Jaguars.
So is the Jaguars' best volume tweeter?
I was going to say, Sully, I think, has seen more Jaguars games than I have in the last 2 years, for sure. Well, he saw this game against Chicago this past week, and I didn't even see it. Like, I've watched the replay. Like, I checked it out on Rewind or whatever the shitty online service that the NFL has. But, yeah, Sully watched the game live. I was kind of follow. I always like to follow Jaguars Twitter on Twitter, even when I'm not watching the game, though. But I mean, so what are your general thoughts on the Jags so far? Like I said, you've caught pretty much every single one of their games so far this year.
I mean, in comparison to last year, man, I think you can see the talent upgrade, like in terms of just overall athleticism on defense. They got some young dudes that can play, man. They look terribly, terribly unprepared every week. The game plan really sucks. And I don't know. I mean, I was a Bortles believer coming into it. As many of you guys know, my shtick is normally to kind of go against the grain, right? So if everybody's saying this,
guy's
great.
You had him as a top 5 quarterback on your quarterback ranking show right before the season.
Yeah, because one of my big taglines has always been production matters. Well, now that I've actually put eyes on him here 4 or 5 times this year, man, the guy's really bad. Like, I'm sure it's on the rundown here to talk about him a little bit more. But I mean, just in terms of the overall Jags, like, I think you have something there on the defensive side, talent, plenty of athleticism. Now it's really coming down to just how the opposing team is coaching circles around your staff.
Yeah, no doubt. And well, and the thing is too is that a lot of it, I mean, a lot of it does come down to execution. The thing is that this is a defensive staff. They've had an influx of talent on defense. Like, really, they finally started to invest on the defensive side of the ball. And you're starting to see that. Hank, I think you were talking to me about that, that the defense is really, like, the strength of this team right now.
Yeah, like, they're legit, like, keeping them in every game that they've been in. Like, sans the Chargers game, every game that's been close, it's because of the defense.
Yeah, so and then it's just the offense has really, really underperformed, like you said, Sully. So, well, you talked about, like, production matters, and the thing is that they don't even have the production right now. They're, I think, dead last in third down efficiency on offense. I think they're 31st or 32nd in DVOA. I mean, the traditional, like, counting stats, they're not good at any of those either. They can't run the ball. They have no rhythm and timing passing game. There's just not a lot to get excited about on this offense right now. And I mean, you kind of saw it happen against Chicago. And right now you're like the big talk surrounding the team right now is that should this team be playing at like a faster pace and more hurry up offense? Bortles pretty much came out and said it today. Like, it's easier to get comfortable and get into a rhythm and things like that. He played well down the stretch of the fourth quarter, like when it mattered, and when he played at a higher tempo, and like the very first drive was good, the one that culminated in Allen Robinson's drop that turned into an interception in the end zone. But I mean, do you guys think that playing at a faster pace more often would be beneficial to this team, or is it more of just like an execution standpoint and what they're calling up? Like the stuff should be working on paper, and like him and the rest of the offense just not executing it.
Well, on one hand, it's some of it's obviously execution. Like them going at a faster pace wouldn't stop Allen Robinson from dropping easy touchdown passes every other week.
Right.
And I mean, Blake's like since he came into the NFL, he's been better at the hurry up stuff, but they've always seemed like they've kind of shied away from it unless it's like those like last minute situations and games. So I'm not convinced that they actually go to it, but I feel like it's probably like 50-50. Like one, he's legit better at it, but two, like nobody on offense really outside of one or two players is playing particularly well regardless.
Yeah, I mean, if you want my 2 cents on that, I mean, you're going to. The faster you play, I guess conventional wisdom would tell you you're going to leave yourself open to make more mistakes with a mistake-prone quarterback. Maybe not the best move, but if you've watched the guy all year so far, it really just looks like he's an uncomfortable player right now. So if that's the way to get him in a groove or to get him comfortable earlier in the game to where it doesn't take him 3.5 quarters to get going, then maybe that is the move early to try to get him in some kind of a groove. Because that's really, if you've watched him so far, man, that he just looks uncomfortable.
No, yeah, I completely agree with that. And the main, like, the counter to that I always want like to point out is, like, look how fast of a pace that Chip Kelly tried to play in Philly with a bunch of quarterbacks that never looked comfortable or good. And the just the difference in what his defenses looked like versus what Philly's defense looks like this year, you know, now that they're playing at a much slower pace. Like, they're playing at that Andy Reid-style pace where they go super, super slow on offense, you know, try to grind up time and possession and everything. Because, I mean, over the Jaguars' defense, it's better, but it's still, like, it's not a great unit yet, you know what I mean? So I'm not, like, playing at a faster pace. It might, like I said, it might make the quarterback more productive, I guess, but I'm still not sure that that's the end all be all answer.
I've always wondered about the hurry up offense. How big is that playbook? Because I think Gus Bradley was saying earlier this week or last week, because he just keeps getting asked every week, like, why don't you do hurry up more? And Gus was saying something about how, you know, the plays are really limited, so you only have, you know, so many plays that Blake knows how to run to out of the hurry up. Yeah. And right. To Sully's point, like, Bortles makes a lot of mistakes and the hurry up, like, increases the potential for those to happen. So I'm wondering if,
like, Gus is shielding him. You're just going three and out faster.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I will say, though, if you're thinking in terms of just football nerdiness, right? Like, the counter to that would be that you guys on offense, I think it's been proven over last year. Now this year they're struggling, but you have guys that can win consistently on their own, right? Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns. You guys are going to kill me for this, but Marquise Lee has been winning this year. TJ Yeldon.
We were going to make a joke, but Marquise has been their best wide receiver.
Yeah, he's the most dependable wide receiver this year.
So you have these guys. So when you do have that limited playbook and stuff, and Bortles, who doesn't seem to be very cerebral, you're cutting things back and letting them more just play versus thinking. So on the same token, I could see where, okay, maybe it's not, you're not scheming Allen Robinson open, but he can get open anyways. So if you're getting him the ball quicker, or, you know, if you're running more plays, maybe it moves the offense. Like, that defense has been pretty good so far this year, and that's with no help from the offense, much to your point, like in Philly. So if they were on the field a little bit more, just because you're going hurry up doesn't necessarily mean your drives are going to be shorter. Maybe they sustain a few now.
No, yeah, totally. And I think one of the most surprising things to me, and just from just listening to the Jaguars Today Show with, you know, with whether it's been Logman or Boselli, and both of them have been really, really frank about how, like, they don't think that, like, I mean, the end zone pass, the end zone fade to Mercedes was obviously
I didn't even that. Oh my God.
Like, you should probably just throw that one out. But overall, I mean, I agree with them. I don't think that the play calling overall has been that bad. I don't think it's bad for them to try to mount some type of run game. I think that can only help their offense. But those guys are like I said, Logman and Boselli, and it's surprising because neither one, you never really, you know,
they've always been like company guys.
Yeah, not just that. They both just tend to be really protective of young players. And both of them are really, really just upfront and direct, and like they don't even call him, they don't call him by his name. They just say the quarterback is not playing well.
That sounds like it up pretty good.
I have a lot of respect for them. I think both of those guys are awesome at their jobs and what they do, but both of those guys caped really hard for Blaine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like they're not willing to throw anybody else under the bus for Blake so far. He's just straight up not playing well. And the offense was mostly like through the second and third quarter. Like I said, I watched the replay. It was for the most part pretty damn unwatchable.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's gotten to the point where the whole offense, like the Baltimore game especially, that was a game you can point to where like, okay, yeah, Blake is 100% the reason they aren't doing anything. But like against the Bears specifically, it's just everybody around him is like, not just him, but everybody seems to either be regressing or playing bad outside one to two players. Like Robinson and Hearns are both dropping passes they didn't drop last year. Yeldon is worse than it would be if you gave Sully a pair of pads.
Yeah, we make jokes about having Sully suit up and play left guard. Like, we were doing that earlier in training camp. But I always forget the dude that they have playing left guard right now. What is his name?
I can't. I have no idea. Right?
Omama. Patrick Omama.
Omama.
He's yeah, like Sully gave me a lot of shit because I was like, he's not going to be that bad.
And no, yeah, for the second week in a row, he was really, really solid, yeah. I thought.
Sully also thought Bernadou was going to be good, so.
I don't know what happened there. Yeah.
Are you ready to change your Twitter handle back to O-line expert?
It was actually O-line breakdown. I'm debating on changing it back to I heard Sunday Fiasco is actually available. So
okay, so the Jaguars. I mean, I know that you haven't like super broken them down and watched like nerded out on their fucking offensive line or anything like that, but they're having a ton of problems running the ball. Boselli was talking about on Jaguars today that he has chalked it up as mostly like missed assignments for the offense. He said there were only like one or two plays that he would call like bad plays by the backs. Hank, do you agree with that? Sully, I'll get to you and ask you like a couple questions about the O-line specifically, but like how do you guys feel about that? Do you guys think it's Hank and Ryan? Do you guys think it's the O-line or do you think it's the backs, mixture of both, like specifically in the Chicago game and overall this season?
When is this bad? I don't think you can say it's just like one or the other. I think it's solid to say it's probably a good mixture of both. Like Ivory, he had a few decent runs Sunday, but he still doesn't look 100% comfortable. And Yeldon doesn't even look like the same dude he looked like last year. And last year he was, you know, solid, but he wasn't like overly impressive or anything. But I think both of them, I don't want to say they're missing holes or whatever, because that's kind of everybody's like cliche go to like, oh, he's not, you know, like he had bad vision or whatever. But just the plays aren't developing from the get go, and I don't think you can really point at one or the other. It has to be a little bit of both.
Yeah, I mean, I hate that you called it like the cliche or the go to. I mean, what I was gonna say is there are specific plays though, Hank. You can see, like, not a good hole, but you can see something that a good back would have made into like 3 or 4 yards that is somehow, you know, Yeldon's no gain or, you know, minus 1 yards or something. So, but yeah, it's both. I mean, the offensive line's not getting much push, and Yeldon is not a guy that should be rushing the ball more than 8 times a game. And Chris Ivory is still not comfortable.
Yeah, like after watching like how their offense did, you know, at the end against the Bears when they entered the pace, I think I tweeted this out, but I was like, Ivory is just simply like a better runner than Yeldon. But if they want to use Ivory in, like in the style of offense he's good at, the rest of their offense is just going to hell. So if they want to hurry up, then they're going to have to use the worst running back. So it's just a mess.
Yeah, exactly. That's a really, really good point, Hank. I completely agree. Like, the thing is, Ivory is, when you just watch the two, the level of athleticism between Ivory and Yeldon is just not even close, which is surprising for a guy in Ivory who's a little bit older and has been, like, banged up throughout his career. And is bigger. I mean, he's just obviously physically much, much bigger. And you can just the difference between the size difference between the two is really noticeable. So it's just kind of surprising how much more explosive and faster Ivory is than him. But the thing is that Ivory seems. I mean, maybe it's still just a comfort thing, but his MO is to just bounce everything and run like. Immediately take off to the sideline, and there's just not a lot of patience there. And I mean, I can't really blame him either because, like I said, it's not like the blocking has been that great. Linder was okay, and Omame was okay, but I mean, Parnell is
just Parnell and Cam have amazing.
Like it's a joke at this point. Sully's favorite player, Kelvin Beachum, like he's solid in pass, bro, but like there's. Ham and Parnell and Julius have the effort level is just it's just not there overall. Sully, like as a former like dude that played like you're an offensive line dude, like how do you feel between you have a back that like you have an offensive line that's not getting very much push? They tried to be zone heavy earlier in the year and they were really bad at it. They're not doing like straight up gap stuff. They're just doing like a little bit more vertical push stuff out of their zone. But like, is there a way to get an offensive line on track that overall is just not playing really physically? Like, I mean, that's really what it comes down to. They do have misassignments and like not taking good tracks to the second level to pick up backers and things of that nature. But I mean, overall, it just seems like the effort level is not there either.
Yeah, I mean, we've had this conversation a ton, and, you know, we always talk about, like, guys who analyze specific positions. A lot of times you go back to what you knew or what you were taught, but you're never going to teach somebody who's not a dog to become a dog, right? Like, that doesn't happen. Like, you can see the difference in Linder or versus the guy that's next to him or whatever, but you guys just kind of hit the nail on the head a little bit, because the one thing I've noticed the most is, like, Ivory bouncing all this stuff. You know, he wants to get to the edge so much, and that's not who he is. So if they're, like, Ryan, you said it, man. If they're getting him 3 or 4 yards, you're in front of the chains, right? That's the old football saying. You're in front of the chains. So if they're getting him 3-4 yards, man, like if they're getting him 3 yards of push, Chris Ivory should be able to put his shoulder down and get you one more. I mean, I don't know how much weight you put on the offensive line, and this is going to sound a little too like cliche, but there's been a ton of injuries there, like a lot of shifting and stuff. And when you talk about the effort, I mean, that's been Kelvin Beachum's kind of MO forever, man.
Much for sure. I remember you saying that.
Which is kind of what that whole Steelers offensive line was when he was a part of that whole group was, you know, it was a lot of – you can see talent there, man. But, you know, he doesn't even have Matt Khalil syndrome where he blocks great for like 2 seconds and then watches. Like, he just blocks great every seventh play. And then the other six, he kind of just stand around and watches. And those aren't the kind of things you change, especially not on a guy. I mean, what is he, like a 7-year vet by now?
I think it's like his fifth year because, like he came off his rookie contract.
Okay, so yeah, he's been in the league. Like, you're never going to teach somebody who's not a dog to be a dog. Like, that doesn't happen. But I think, to Hank's point, man, like, there's a difference in having a change of pace back or varying styles, but, like, their styles are so different in contrast. Like, it would be tough for me as an offensive line to block that, too, because at the same token, what I've seen so far with watching Ivory trying to break everything outside is to watch Yeldon doesn't understand when just to get his 3 yards.
Right, totally. Totally. Yeah, they've had problems with both backs. I think running back is a need on this team. They're trying to make TJ into something that he's not. They've also had to over rely on him because they haven't really had other backs on the roster.
Let me add one more thing real quick. I will say that it's well, you know, losing Jokul didn't sound like a huge deal. I know it's been a joke, but losing him at guard, he was probably your best run blocker at one point or one of your best run blockers. But that right side of the line to me is what would worry me the most because those two guys were physical guys. Like Cam coming out, that was what everybody thought. It was, man, he's going to be a great run blocker. Is he going to hold up in pass pro? Nobody knew. It was, you know, he was like the almost like the Gabe Jackson kind of scouting report, you know, where, man, this dude can kick ass, but we don't know if he's going to be able to move or is he going to hold up in pass pro at all. And then especially with Parnell, like, man, that was his whole – that was what got him that contract was he played and he beat everybody's ass for a couple games, and it was like, oh, my God, this guy can play right tackle, and he's mean and he's nasty. And when you were looking at that offensive line, when you had Linder at center, Can, and then Parnell kind of all next to each other, conventional wisdom would make you think, man – run right behind them three with Chris Ivory, and you're getting 4 or 5 yards a pop because they're just going to be mauling people, and it's not happening.
Nope. Yeah, and Sully, to your point, I don't know if you saw on, like, Saturday, I just saw that Jeff Ratcliffe, he's over at PFF, he put out a chart where he was saying, here's the average amount of yards running backs get before initial contact, and the Jaguars were dead last running on the right side of the line with literally negative, like, a tenth of a yard per run. Before initial contact, they were like they were one of only two teams. Like Pittsburgh was the other one that didn't have an average of positive yards before initial contact.
Wow.
Yeah. Neither one of those guys is playing well at all right now. Like I said, whoever it is that they've been rotate, like who has happened to be playing left guard so far this year, has been their best dude in my opinion. Well, Linder's been pretty consistent. Like when he has played, his missed game.
He's been good. When he's been good, I think you can call him good.
Yeah, I think he's a better center than he was a guard.
Yeah, because his lack of power.
He's in that weird spot.
His lack of power doesn't hurt him as much at center as it did at guard.
Yeah. He's like one of those guys, though, like he reminds me of like when we had Jeff Allen, that guy that can play multiple spots, and maybe his best spot is center. But, I mean, imagine that offensive line if they would have got Alex Mack somehow, like everybody was saying they would have, and then he could have stayed at guard, then, man, the interior looks a whole lot different right now. Because, I mean, even if Can is struggling, you have this guy y'all love, Amame, or whatever the hell his name is, that you could plug in at the other guard spot. So, I mean, hey, I know it's just in hindsight.
I was going to say, I'm not saying I love him because we've been, like, Jaguars fans have been fooled by, like, this reserve lineman who has to play because of injury. They've been burned by it a couple of times. Who was the original one? Cam Bradfield, your boy from Virginia.
I remember him.
Yeah, both of your boys from Virginia, Boenko and Pastor.
I told y'all Boenko was bad. Hold on. I called that one. Now, Pastor wasn't bad. Everybody just always wants to play him at right tackle, and they need to just leave him at guard.
Right. I actually think he's in Cleveland now, right?
Yeah.
He's playing guard in Cleveland, isn't he?
Yeah, that's what I thought. He's playing guard in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm. Sorry to hear that.
All right, do we have anybody have any like thoughts to wrap? I guess we should cover Jalen getting roasted in the first half and then completely shutting down Alshon in the second half. That's exactly what you want to see from a young corner. Like I'll turn it over to you guys basically, but a guy that gets targeted especially as a rookie and overcomes that adversity and like was probably the best player on defense and had the biggest moment in the biggest moment of the game.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think like Jalen even like said after the game, like he wasn't like what was it you said, Sully? He wasn't like he's going to take his ball and go home. Like he said after the game, he was like, yeah, he was destroying me in the first half. He was just like every play, he was getting the better of me. But what I think he like attributed to better technique or whatever, but just throughout the second half, it looked like he was playing. They were letting him play a lot more aggressively, you know, like taking him farther away from the receiver. You're just like taking away what he's doing best, like especially on these comebacks and stuff. Like he's not that quick stop and go type. So just and putting him like letting him be more physical with the receiver, it seemed like it helped him a lot. And the thing that surprised me with Alshon was it shouldn't have surprised me that he struggled, not because Alshon isn't like a great, because he's obviously top 7 or 8 NFL receiver, but like,
yeah, for sure.
Jalen's big thing coming into the NFL was everybody was like, yeah, he should be able to body big receivers and he'll struggle against small receivers. But all season they put him against the smaller receivers. Like,
yeah, that's the first big dude he's faced.
Yeah, yeah. Like he's gone against Cobb and Hilton and that terrible Ravens receiver who should retire already. And he's bodied all of them. The angry dwarf. and then his first like game against a big receiver, like this was really his first like NFL learning experience with one. So it really shouldn't have been that much of a surprise that he struggled. I was surprised he came back as well as he did, honestly.
Yeah, that was surprising to me too. I mean, I wasn't watching the game, but just like when I watched it and just kind of following you guys talking about it on Twitter and everything, that was that's pretty cool for a fucking for a rookie corner. He, that dude's gonna be good, man.
Yeah, and it's not like the Bears were like people were talking about. They're like, why did the Bears stop going to Alshon? Like he had six targets in the second half.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and well, Alshon had 90 yards at halftime and then finished the game with, what, like 96?
Yeah, he only had one catch in the second half. One catch out of six targets. That's crazy. Like he just legit did a good job on him.
One more thing. The linebackers are Paz. Dude, Paz is playing out of his fucking mind. him and Telvin are, like, they're flashing in every game. Like, those dudes, they're good. Like, people keep talking about Miles, but, I mean, injury is kind of has forced him into the strong side linebacker spot. But there's no way if you were just intent on keeping him at Mike or at Will and learning those spots, he would have never taken snaps from either dudes.
It's crazy to think that they were, like we were legit talking about he might take Telvin's job at one point. Because Telvin's their best defender right now.
Oh, absolutely.
His entire 2016 season so far has been one big subtweet to Alfie. you guys killed that dude in every game. He's all over the place.
Yep, the thing is that he's been good in coverage these last few games too. Now that they haven't had him like doing anything stupid, I don't know. Like those two are playing really, really, really well right now. I'm really impressed with both of them.
Yeah, like I said, like there's like no point to really switch up like things with Miles. Like obviously, don't let Scooter see the field ever again, which for some reason they were letting him. But
yeah, like Miles only played like 15 snaps or something.
Yeah, no, Scooter almost played the same amount of snaps as him. I don't think they like gave any explanation for why.
Yeah. All right. Well, I really don't have anything else about the Bears game. Defensive line played well too against the run. The pass rush was kind of shitty. Sully, do you have anything to wrap us up before we jump into the Raiders game?
I'll just say, kind of adding on to you guys' point, like Jalen Ramsey did what ballers do, man. Like you realize how amped he had to be going into that game, knowing he's going to play against Alshon. And like we talked about, maybe the national media doesn't talk about Alshon enough, but he's the most disrespected great wide receiver in the game. And to come out and he's getting torched early, like that's every rookie's nightmare, right? Like you've seen it happen. This year, even with some vets like Bashaud Breeland and those guys, they start to get torched and they just lose it mentally, and it's better just to sit them down and come back next week.
Yeah, once a corner step loses. Up.
Yeah, go like he stepped up, man. He stepped up. He shut him down in the second half, and then we talked about it. Like the amount of nuts it took to jump that route at the end of the game to make that play. Like, I mean, there's nothing in this world like that would make you think that was going to be the right move, and he had the nuts to do it. He made the play. Like, that's what you want out of the number, wherever the hell y'all took him, 4 or 5, picking the draft. Like, that dude's a future star, man. Like, that's Marcus Peters' mentality of, okay, I gave up 4 catches, I'll pick the next one off.
Yep. His career is going to be fucking fun to watch, man. And the thing is, too, is, like, he's going to be the type, too, where it's going to, like, even as he gets older, he's going to be able to transition inside to safety, like a Charles Woodson or something like that. That dude's going to have a really, really long career if he wants to. Like even as he starts slowing down, he's gonna be able to play that safety nickel type, like I said, like exactly like how Chuck did.
Yeah.
So I'm stoked to watch his entire career unfold. All right, so jumping into next week, the Jack Del Rio's return to Jacksonville. We've actually kind of been talking about this one on the podcast for the last couple of weeks. The Jaguars, weirdly, they opened as they were 2-point favorites, right? Or 1.5. I think they're 1.5 favorite at home against the Raiders, who the Jags are, what, they're 2-3 at this point?
Yeah.
The Raiders are
4-2.
4-2 with they're
1-5 with a 4-2 record.
I was just going to let you say that. You saw them up close against your Chiefs this past week. Like, what is your what is your thoughts on the Raiders overall? I mean, I guess we'll talk. Like, we'll start out. Do you think that Derek Carr is for real?
I don't want to say he's like. So you're gonna get me in it because I don't want to sit here and sound like an idiot and say he sucks. Right? he obviously doesn't suck, but he's not as good as like the pub he's getting, man. Like it's not like he's going out there and he's the fucking reason they're winning games, right? Like it's not him. And it just annoys me to no end to see everybody just have this love affair with this guy. And it's like, man, when you really break down what he's done in what, six games now, it's not been all that impressive. And once again, his entire career has been a fucking in shambles every time he plays Kansas City. And we made him look like an idiot again Sunday.
Yeah, he cannot beat Kansas City at all. Okay,
he can't even play well against Kansas City.
So if he's not the reason that they're winning, like what is the reason that they've been able to win these games?
Well, I mean, I don't think I knew until last year and then obviously the beginning of this year, like Michael Crabtree's good, man. Like,
yeah, he's really good.
He's legitimately good. Like, so you have him, Cooper can play. And I don't know, man, they're like this weird, it's like this unexplainable thing where they look like shit for 3 3/4. And then that last like little bit of game there, they're only down a touchdown and fucking Crabtree bails them out somehow. Like that's what happens every week all year so far.
Yeah, that's exactly how the Ravens game went. I saw that entire game. That was actually a really, really entertaining game.
That's exactly how the Saints game went. That's how it's been all year.
The Chargers game too. I saw the end of that game. So yeah, I mean you are right. So what I mean their offensive line is, and the wide receivers are obviously strengthened. Their offense is like has top ranks in pretty much everything across the board, I think. And their defense is just absolutely fucking horrendous. Like yeah, and look, that was another thing I wanted to for you to expound on. We talked about it on your recap show last week. Like you were talking about their linebackers, and this is something that that I think fans have a trouble and struggle with identifying and accepting is that you can have a position on your team where the player is bad, but it's just like he's still a player. He's NFL like replacement level or a little bit worse. Like still an NFL player, and then you have a dude that just like is bad to the point that you wouldn't even say that he belongs. He doesn't belong on the NFL. And they're fielding on their linebacker core right now.
I was coming back. I heard your general point, and you know, I think it was
just about like how shitty their linebackers are.
Their linebackers are bad, and like you know, they're playing this kid. I don't even care what his fucking name is because he sucks. He wears number 57. He played like edge out at like Eastern fucking Michigan or something, and now they're playing him at Mike in the NFL, and he thinks he's still the best player on the field. Like you can tell he didn't play at a high level in college because like he thinks he's still so much more athletic and stronger and a better player than everybody else that he can do shit. Like the easiest block for an offensive lineman to make is when your job is to get out on the mic and say the play is coming off your left ass cheek, right? If he's going to dip to your right shoulder, there's nothing for you to do. You just stand there and put your hand out, and you can fucking watch the play happen after that, right? Like, watch your running back get 12 more yards. And that's what he does. And it was even more surprising. Like, they were doing this shit, and Malcolm Smith, I think, is the other guy, number 53. I don't remember where he came from, but he's been around the league for a while now. He's also terrible. So, it's like, you know, he dips under and like he keeps throwing these he'll literally try to arm tackle everybody. And he was like 235-pound Spencer Ware with like 7 yards ahead of steam. It's like, what the fuck are you even trying to do here? But this isn't going to work. And even Bruce Irvin, who you guys were a big fan of, man, like I didn't see much out of him at all. Like everybody talked about his pass rushing ability, but he's terrible against the run. So I don't really know what he offers.
Yeah. I mean, other than Mac there, and I guess, Mac is good, but he has not been on the field. He's been on the field. He just hasn't really made much of an impact at all this year. Irvin's not making an impact. The defense overall, but the front seven especially overall, just does not have a lot of fucking talent on it. Like Raider fans are waiting for Mario Edwards to come back like he's fucking Reggie White or something. So you know that's a problem.
Mac had like, I don't know the exact stat, so I don't want everybody fucking quote tweeting me here, but he had something like 10 sacks in 4 games last year. And then the rest of his season was fairly average. Like, he's still a good player. I'm not taking anything away from him. He's a great player. But Irvin was brought in to take pressure off of him. And he's not doing it at all. Now, everybody's swearing to God that Mario Edwards fucking Jr., that's the guy, right?
They think Mario Edwards is their dude to rescue their front seven. It's crazy.
Come on, man. They think when he comes back, it's going to take all this pressure off. Like, nobody's fucking worried about Mario Edwards Jr.
At all.
Nobody. Like, FSU, that defense is bad. Hey, and they spent money in it, man.
Was Mario Edwards even good at FSU?
No, I hated Mario Edwards. He was terrible.
Yeah.
He was the most heralded
recruit of all time.
Yeah, EJ Manuel, and Cameron Irving at left tackle, my least favorite Seminoles ever.
Yeah, that sounds – he's supposed to be the guy to fucking save their front seven. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
They're not like Colts bad, but if the Jaguars can't run the ball against this defense front, like there's we got some serious fucking questions to ask. I mean, I've seen some of the plays that Spencer Ware had against them, just like simple fucking toss plays going for like 50 yards down the sideline, like yeah, really, we were, really, 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 yeah.
we were running 40. We have 40 rushing plays. And you got to remember, these are counting Alex's three runs for like 6 yards and Poe's 1 yard majestic touchdown.
Right.
So in reality, we were more like 36 rushes and 183 yards. Like they had no fucking answer for us at all. Like we got whatever we wanted.
If the Jags come on the ball, they got like problems.
It's probably like already, you know, been time to hit the panic button on, you know, like the run game. But especially like this week, if they can't, then it's just broken beyond repair. But my main like point on Mac is like I said this when I was going over the Jaguars game the other night. But he's like the epitome of like the people who die on the hill that like pressures are like as important as sacks. Like he's obviously really, really good. And but it seems like every impressive play people talk about him is him almost getting a sack. Like, you know, that's nice and all, and that's a nice vine for your 750 followers, but I mean
at the end of the day you need to get the dude down on the ground.
Like against the Bears, like Ngakoue had two rushes on the first one. It was his best rush all game. It was 3rd and 9. He destroyed the left tackle but barely missed Hoyer, and Hoyer, you know, they got the first down. And then on Ngakoue's sack, he did almost literally nothing the entire play until the end, but he pushed them. He made them get a field goal instead of a touchdown. So, I mean, sacks matter at the end of the day. Mac has less than D Ford. And when he gets as many as Ngakoue, Raiders Twitter and get back in my mentions.
Well, when he gets as many as D Ford.
That's right. Yeah. D Ford with more sacks than Khalil Mack. Incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, Sully, we're going to obviously talk about this on the gambling podcast on your show later this week. But I mean, it's obviously that you don't think very highly of the Raiders, but how are the Jaguars? How did they open up as favorites against the Raiders?
If it was me, man, like I would put money. I know this is going to sound crazy because you always tell me after this. I'd bet on the Jaguars because as much of a nightmare matchup as we are for Oakland, because we're able to shut their offense down while they can't stop anybody. You got a decent enough defense to slow them down, and they're not going to be able to – y'all are way more high-powered offense than we are. And we have a much better running game. I'm not saying that, but their real weakness – like, we're talking about how bad that front seven is. Their secondary is worse than the front seven. The secondary is worse than the front seven. And you guys, that's what y'all do well. So if there's ever a game where it's a get Blake going, get his momentum going kind of game, this is it. Like, 1.5 point, what is it at right now? Still 1.5?
I'm going to check it right now. Go ahead and talk so we don't have that.
A 1.5 point. So they're really saying they think the Raiders are what, about 5 points better than you guys if this was played in Oakland.
It's
so,
Jacksonville minus one right now.
Bet the mortgage.
Bet the fucking mortgage on that. Dude, there's no chance they slow you guys down. It's not going to happen. They haven't slowed anybody down all year. Like,
they haven't.
When you really dig down into it, dude, they gave up 34 to the Saints in a 1 point win, 35 to the Falcons in a 7 point loss. 10 to the Titans, but we know the fucking Titans are the Titans, right?
Right.
27 to the Baltimore Ravens offense, who fired their
offensive coordinator.
Yeah, and that's a bad offense. Yeah.
And then the Chargers 31, and then I love my guys here, but it's not like we were fucking kicking ass on an offense until we got to them, and we scored 26 and really left about 10 points on the board. So, I mean, they're not a great defense by any means.
So you're calling it right now. You're calling it a get-right game for the Jags offense?
It's a get. If there's ever, I put it like this: if it isn't the get right game, then press the fucking panic button.
Yeah, no kidding. Because like I said, this is pretty much the same shit that we were saying before the Indy game, and the Indy game was, I mean,
yeah,
the offense was productive, but Blake wasn't necessarily good in it. So
I mean, even like the Bears game, I mean, they have like Tracy Porter starting for them, and they still only scored 17 points.
Yeah. So I mean, I'm just gonna
the only thing that would worry me with you guys in the passing game is their corners are the bigger bodier style, you know, the big body corners that want to get up
right.
and that's what y'all's receivers are. You know, you guys aren't now. Lee,
yeah, we don't have the Brandon Cooks to just fucking fry them on it.
Yeah. Well, you also hopefully they're not dumb enough to push Sean Smith in fucking one-on-one man coverage on the edge against the fastest guy in the NFL, like a corner who's known for being slow as shit.
Well, I mean, I would hope they wouldn't waste him on Allen Robinson.
Let's actually, hey, Hank, let's talk about that. Like, what's going on with the skill talent on offense? I mean, Allen is still getting like 10 targets a game. I think they're 0-for-9 on targets where the ball is like 20 air yards down the field. Yeah. I think Matt Harmon said that on Sigmund's show today. Like, they're 0-for-9 on those. So they're trying them, but they're just not connecting. Hearns didn't have, like, after he got hospital balled, I think it was. Oh, God.
By the way, unbelievable. Like, and I saw some people were like, I can't believe he dropped that. I'm like, you can't believe what? Like, he got fucking, that was like literally, hey, here's your trip to fucking ER, bud. Like, yeah, oh, my God.
He gets hospital balled almost once a game, it seems like. So their best skill player so far, I mean, their best wide receiver has been Marquise. And then, in my opinion, Julius is not that good.
Yeah, no, he had a good week one, and then he's been terrible.
Aurelius Ben is playing better than him. And, I mean, I know it's limited snaps, but the thing is with Julius is that, like, you know that he's not going to give you much effort in the run game, and he is part of the problem with their run game, but that's not what you signed him for. The thing is that's disappointing with me is that there's a lot of routes that he's running where he's just out there fucking loafing, bro. And I know that that's like a pretty heavy accusation to make to somebody, but when you really watch him, like, he's got plays where he, like in trips where he's the number three, the furthest inside slot man, and he's got to run a corner route, and the two wide receivers to his left are both running ends underneath it, like a chair concept. So he's running the corner route. He's the primary receiver. Chicago's just leaving one safety on him and saying, you know, beat him. Like, that should be a play where he should be the target. And, like, he's not even getting into his break fast enough before Blake's having to dump it to the ends. You know what I mean? It's just, like, a lot of routes like that where he's the primary and he's just fucking out there loafing. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm being too...
No. I mean, it got to the point last week. Like, you didn't even know he was playing until, like, the fourth quarter.
Yeah. That's one that you warned about too, Sully. I know you did.
Well, I mean, not only with the injury history, man, he was Peyton Manning's tight end, which you want to watch for, and he had the great year in 2013. He caught a ton of touchdowns in 2014, but if you really look at it, man, he has 12 touchdowns, which jumped off the page, but he only had like 480 yards receiving. So, right. I mean, you know, he was a great red zone target. Maybe that's what he is, but I mean, I don't know that he was this great, like, when you guys signed him, y'all were so pumped to, like, throw him in the, you know, play him out in the slot, and you were going to flex him all around the formation and shit, and I was like, I don't know that he's that guy.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't seem like that amount of money. To me.
Yeah. And you brought up a great point about him killing you in the running game. That dude offers nothing when it comes to blocking. Nothing. Like, he's absolutely, yeah, terrible. Let me ask you this. Is this Lee's third year in the league?
Unfortunately.
Yeah. All three receivers are in their third year.
So, I mean... Let's just say, I remember the old rule of thumb used to be give the receiver 3 years, right? Like, wasn't that the whole deal? Mm-hmm. I mean, this is his third year, and in every game I've watched, he's making plays. Like, I know you guys hate him, but every game I watch, like,
no, I mean, like I said,
he's had a good season.
He's doing all right. He's got 22 catches for 230 yards. It's not like you.
No, I mean, he's obviously not like.
But yes, he has been their most consistent player game to game, I think.
Yeah, I mean, he's not, like, just completely screwing everything up every game, like every target he gets like he was last year. Like, he's not getting outplayed by Brian Walters anymore.
Right, yeah. Crazy, man. Crazy.
Now, okay, the thing with Robinson is like, what's weird is he's still making, like, these crazy, like, difficult, like, catches where, you know, he has to make, like, a miraculous extension to catch a bad Blake pass. Like, he's still making those. It's, like, the easy, like, drops, like, mainly the touchdowns, the easy passes he's dropping. I have no idea why. Like, that interception last year, that's easy six. That he had one play against the Colts where it should have easily been a touchdown. That play against Green Bay against that awful defensive back, that should have been a touchdown.
Yep, I 100% agree. Legit. The offense is – that's the thing is that nobody is executing just, like, the really, really basic stuff.
Yeah.
Every position group on this team, or I mean, on the offense.
Yeah, like I mentioned, I don't think it's at all like at the point right now where you're like, yeah, it's just the quarterback. It's everybody around them too. It's like just like as a unit, they're failing.
His like, let me ask you this though, and I'll take my own personal feelings out of it though. But his accuracy is so bad that a lot of these routine catches are have to be circus catches because the ball is so far out of place. And even on some of these where they're open, where he puts the ball, he's not leading them towards any type of open field ever, man. It's because his accuracy is so bad. Like, you don't think that's playing a part at all?
No, it completely is.
Yeah, it definitely is. But if it was like he's dropping like these passes where he has to make miraculous adjustment to get it, then yeah, that'd be like no big deal. That's understandable. But it's the passes hitting him right like in the chest. Like he did the same thing against
maybe, he's surprised passes on target. maybe it's a surprise. I'm telling you, dude, like I've watched the dude now all year and he just like these routine, like, I mean, a standard hitch route where he's got 3-4 yards of separation and Allen then has to make, you know, go 2 steps to his left and jump to make a catch. And it's like, how the fuck did you throw that ball there? Like, it's just the routine stuff is just, to me, is what
when you don't have more than everything. When you don't have that level of precision, it really just bogs the entire fucking offense down. You limit like your yak opportunities. That's huge. I mean, you have wide receivers getting hospital balled, like I said.
The yak thing is huge, though, man. Like, that's
it really is. Big deal.
Like, because you don't realize how many hidden yards are there when it's a 7-yard completion, and everybody's like, great, he made a 7-yard, but that really could have been an 18-yard catch, you know, because it was a 7-yard catch and an 11-yard run.
So wide receiver, had to stop and wait or turn back to get the ball and allow the receiver or allow the defender to make a tackle, like, right when the catch happens. No, yeah, I'm totally there with you. His accuracy right now is untenable. I know that he's completing 61% of his passes, and that's a career high. But, I mean, just watching it, the level of accuracy, the just where the ball is being placed on the wide receiver's frames, it's just not there. It's not there. And you know what, too? Like, I think that – honestly, I think – The pass offense being so bad, like, people want to blame the run game on it, but that's a big reason why the run game can't get in any rhythm either. Like, if you're the worst team in the NFL on third down, you're not getting first downs. You're not getting repeated opportunities to, like, get your offense into rhythm and to, like, because running the ball is a rhythm thing very much like the passing game. You know what I mean, Sully?
Yeah, I actually cut out, so. I live in Virginia with the worst fucking internet in history, so I'm sorry. I'm actually at a friend's house also, so their internet's just as bad as mine.
So you have justice level internet.
Yeah, I'm in grandma's
church house. Well, the point that I was bringing up right now was just like the rhythm in their offense. Is I was saying that, like, and asking you, the run game is very much a rhythm and tempo thing as much as the pass offenses, but people don't really think about that. So when you're the worst third down team in the NFL and you're not getting first downs and repeated opportunities to run the ball, nobody in the front ever gets into rhythm. The back, like, they don't really, like, get into – the backs don't get into a rhythm. Like, everything is just out of whack. Like I said, people want to blame the run game on the – like, saying, that, oh, they're trying to run the ball too much. They're not really going, like, run, pass. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they're just not converting on third downs, and that's what's really stagnating and bogging the whole thing down.
Yeah, I think when I said earlier that Blake looks uncomfortable, I probably should have said the entire offense just looks uncomfortable. Yeah. And that's why you go to that hurry up, just to try to get some momentum, man. Get a rhythm going. Like, you're right. It looks like, you know, it's two handoffs to Ivory up the middle, two of which that he can get 5 yards. He gets 3 because he bounces it outside because he thinks he weighs 200 pounds. And then it's either a miraculous catch from one of the Allens or it's Bortles throwing it fucking in the middle of nowhere. So, like, you just got to get some consistency there. And the running game, as much as you're talking about the rhythm, like, it's a rhythm for the O-line, man. Like, it gets juiced a little bit, right? Like, you get running the ball and you run the ball 3 times and you've gotten 17 yards on 3 runs. And now you're in a rhythm because you've kicked the guy in front of yours at – you kicked his ass now 3-4 plays in a row, right? And it works on his mental too, you know. Now he's had his ass kicked 3 or 4 plays in a row, and it's like, holy shit, man. They're coming right downhill. They're punching me in the fucking mouth. That's an old – I know I sound like I'm 70 years old and I'm Mike Ditka here, but playing O-line is so much mental and just getting that momentum going. Momentum's real. And, you know, those type of things matter, man. And getting in a rhythm, like, that's how you get things going.
Yep. And the thing is, too, is, like, the backs start getting into a rhythm with the O-line. The other big thing, too, is, like, playing offensive line is you start – when you start getting in that rhythm, you start understanding, like, how those backers are flowing on the second level, and you start, like, taking better tracks and angles to pick them off. It's, like, it's a rhythm thing just like the pass game is. So when you're – like, when you're not converting on third down, you're not – giving either side of your offense an opportunity to get into that rhythm, the pass game or the run game. Preview, like continuing to preview Jags versus Raiders. Is there anything else that we need to cover? I mean, obviously the marquee matchup in this game is going to be Jalen versus these wide receivers. Do you just have him shadow Cooper, or do you have him bounce back?
I'm telling you, if it was me, I know you guys are gonna. I'd have him lock down Crabtree, and I'd make Amari beat me. Amari's great, but I mean, last week he went off 10 catches, 120 some yards against us, and they did absolutely nothing on offense. Like Crabtree is the one who you have to watch for. Like he's a big play guy. He's great in the red zone. Like if you take him out of their offense, you watch their offense struggle last week.
Yeah. No. Okay. See, I don't even disagree with you. Like I think Crabtree is like the guy in that offense right now that you need to really like plan for. But my whole thing is I'd put Jalen on Cooper and then put Prince on Crabtree because I just think like that matchup of skill set syncs up a lot better.
I don't really have a take. I think I'm interested to see what they do and how they match those guys up. Prince actually, I mean, House has never seen the field again, right?
No. Okay, yeah, no. House gave that interview today where he was like, yeah, I have no idea why they benched me. They think I'm playing bad, but I'm not. So, like, that relationship's dead.
Let me ask you guys this, just from a scheme perspective or something. Does, I don't know his name, 91, he's your best defensive lineman.
The
rookie.
Yeah.
Got it. Oh, yeah. Can't
in the NFL, but yeah, go on.
Does he have the ability to rush over the right tackle also?
Can
he flip sides?
They've lined him up there. I don't know how effective necessarily.
Okay, here's the thing. Like, imagine the worst lineman you've ever seen in Jags history. He now starts for the Oakland Raiders. I'm not saying it's him, but that's how bad that guy is at right tackle. Like, the rest of their offensive line is phenomenal, and he's terrible. So, like,
he's going to be in a fucking pillow fight with Dante Fowler for four quarters then.
And once again, that goes back to just bad scheme. Like, you know, put your guy who can get pressure over there and let him fuck with Carr's rhythm.
Yeah, that's a good point. Fowler was pretty bad against Chicago, like noticeably bad.
Yeah, he had like
pretty bad all year.
Here's the thing. So he's the typical guy where you can tell, like, he knows that he's a good athlete, and he never has a fucking plan on a pass rush. Yeah. Ever. Doesn't have a move.
I mean, that was the same coming out of college, too.
Yeah.
I really liked Eric. I was going to say.
We're all talking over each other. Yeah. Go ahead, Ryan.
No, I was going to say when you did the pod like a month or a month and a half ago with Matt Waldman, he made a really good point about Marquise Lee. And how his first year or two in the league, Marquise Lee wasn't a student of the game because he could always rely on his like freakish athleticism. And so even at USC, he could rely on that and not have to really bust his ass in the film room or studying or really thinking about it. And then when he got into the NFL, he could do that. Yeah, it overwhelmed him. He still thought he could do that and then mix that with injuries. And that's why you see year three, he's a serviceable wide receiver. He's dependable. He's not like this, you know, freakish guy who's going to be like a number one, but it took him 2 years to say, oh, I can't rely on my freakish athleticism anymore. And I fear that's what's going to happen with Dante.
Yeah, I think that's actually a pretty good comparison in terms of their developmental track. That's actually a really good comparison. Sully. Did we lose Sully again?
No, I'm here.
Okay. How, I mean, like, everybody in fantasy Twitter, like, hate, like, bags on Latavius Murray constantly. But how, I mean, how is the Raiders' offensive line is supposed to be pretty fucking good, and neither one of both of these backup running backs were, like, super hyped, especially the rookie Washington, and I don't think either one of them has done shit since Murray went down. And Murray was productive.
Yeah, like, their running game is, like, absolutely non-existent. It doesn't, they're not good. Yeah, it's bad. Like, and those dudes, like, they didn't even – we talked about it. Like, Washington is the better player, I think. Like, he out-touched him and everything, but No, man, he's not ready for that kind of workload, and he's not – I don't know what his actual size is, but he looks like a smaller guy, and he's just – it's not great. Like, it's not their offensive line's good, but like I think people put a lot of stock into that, where like you think of great offensive line, they're going to be the Cowboys, where like just nobody else is that in the running game, you know, like
right.
nobody else is that, put whoever behind there and they're going to get 1200
yards.
They're
like, more of a really good pass pro offense. I mean, I know you said their right tackle now is really, really shitty, but with that interior, like nobody's going to get pressure up the middle on Carr against that interior.
Yeah. And that's, you also got to remember, we jumped out on them kind of early, you know, so they were playing kind of catch up ball there for a while, but it just, I wouldn't be worried about their running game at all, especially if Latavius isn't playing. Now, I don't think Latavius is all that good either, but he does kill the Chiefs. So that's why I try not to say his name in vain too much, because he fucking comes back to haunt me. But yeah, I wouldn't be too worried about their running game. Like, and the backs, like I said, Washington looks like he has talent. Maybe there's something there, but he's
a rookie.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a rookie.
And I mean, if you really look at it, he was 10 carries, 49 yards. I mean, he's almost getting 5 yards a clip last week. So it's not like he had a bad game. They just abandoned the run game because we were beating the shit out
of him. Yeah, they had to. Do we have anything? Do you have anything else that you can think of that you need to cover, like for this preview? You're all in. Is the Jags going to be your bet the mortgage game of the week?
Yeah, it's absolutely my bet the mortgage game. There's no way they slow you out. Like, this is. I'm telling you,
you're gonna be tweeting through this so hard.
Yeah, what's your score so far on bet the mortgage games so far this year?
Well, I have no house at all, and apparently neither does anyone who follows me and listens to the podcast.
You're at like negative three houses at this point, I think.
Yeah, like every time, like around 7:30 on Sundays, I just start getting flooded with mentions. Like, I lost my house. Thanks. Like, it happens to me every week, but there's no way I'm wrong about this one. Like, no chance, dude. They're not going to slow you guys down.
That's
it's a great game. I'm telling you. If they slow you guys down, or if you guys aren't putting up a ton of points in yards here this week, then you got to figure something out on the offensive side. It's a problem.
Yep.
They're scoring 6 points just because you said that.
Yeah, I'm the fucking black card. I was the worst guest to have on this week because I was pumped up about you guys, so you should have just kept that in a text and let anybody do. Now everybody's going to know that I'm pumped up about you this week, so here we go. It's going to be fucking 45-14 Raiders.
It wouldn't surprise. I think that the Jags are going to get beat down, you know. But
I don't, man. I don't.
I'm a cynic.
Raiders going across the. They're going across the country to play you guys. So I mean, and they did that once already this year, where they went all the way to Baltimore and played the Ravens in a game that. Well,
I know, sure. Louisiana's not like on the east, like actually touching the Atlantic Ocean on the East Coast, but it's still a pretty far trip.
They didn't really look great neither. Like, Saints fucking put up record amount of yards on them and touchdowns and everything else. Point. And the Raiders gifted them that game. They look like shit all day. Just the fucking Ravens are bad enough to give them a win. So they haven't looked great when they've been over here either.
It's a good point. It's going to be like, I hope the offense comes alive and it's just not a fucking ugly slop fest.
And in the words of old fucking great Vito, got to deal with the heat. I don't know if you guys remember that one.
Alright. That's enough for this. Ryan.
Yep.
Do we have Ryan? Are we ready to do you have questions questions to shoot for us?
I do have some questions to shoot for you.
Alright.
So
are you gonna stick around for questions, Sully?
Sure.
He actually has to, I think.
Oh yeah,
I think if he exits the call, the recording stops, like with
That's right.
With,
like, what happened with Kyle Posey.
Yeah.
Shocker.
Kylie Posley.
that did you a favor then.
Well, no, it was when he left, the podcast ended, so we didn't even get any episode without him. I know, it was awful. So we talked about what was wrong with A. Robin Hearns, or we talked about what was wrong with the offense. Ben S. Jags wants to know what's wrong – like, what's wrong specifically with Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns? Like, separate of Blake Bortles, what's wrong with those two receivers?
I don't know. I think we've covered it pretty handily. Like, you know, a friend of the show, Count Caleb, Caleb Bailey on Twitter, at Count Caleb, like, he has this theory that, I mean, it's obviously not quantifiable or anything, but it's really hard to separate the performance from the quarterback from the performance of the wide receiver. So, like, when you have a quarterback that's playing erratically, like I said, it's very hard for anybody to get into rhythm, especially wide receivers, when you're constantly having to adjust and, you know, you're getting led into hospital balls and things of that nature. I mean, Hank, do you want to expound on that?
No, I mean, I mean, we've pretty much like gone over that. Like, I think Blake is obviously holding the offense back as a whole, but I also don't think you can say either one of them is really like
playing well.
Absolved from blame either. I mean, yeah, I mean, like Hearns, like he obviously had the hospital ball, but he also dropped 2 third down passes, you know, like way after that
right.
You know, should have been converted. I mean, yeah, Robinson's having to make crazy adjustments, but he's also dropping a touchdown that hits him right in the chest that takes away 6 points. So, I mean, all 3 of them are just not like absolved from blame at all, I think.
Yeah, they've all got their own faults and problems right now. Next.
All right, Francesco Gallo. Why hasn't anyone talked about how studly we've been against tight ends this year? Usually we suck.
That's a good one. That is a great one. You know why? Because nobody wants to admit that Paz is playing well.
Man.
That's why.
That is.
That's 100%.
I'm sick. I'm sick.
Well, you know what, too, is I know that having the free safety hasn't been super involved in making big plays or anything like that, but I think having a competent one and kind of shrinking down the middle of the field has been a big help, too.
So follow up to that. Why is Paz so much better? Is it just better players around him? Is it because Wash is putting him in better positions? What is it?
I wish I had the answer to that, but I honestly don't know. I mean, it really might be that he doesn't feel like he has to cover for other dudes. It might be that. I mean, I wouldn't say that they've necessarily reduced his area of responsibility or anything. They're playing, you know, the same stuff that they have been. So, I mean, he's playing better. I couldn't tell you the reason why.
What about maybe the 91 and Malik effect? I mean,
the thing is, though, they're getting some sacks, but they're not really a consistent pressure team either, though.
What about his health? I mean, he's always.
But
I mean,
you know what? The defense
wasn't
healthy. That is a good point. Is that the defensive line is competent now?
Yeah.
So and that because there are a lot of plays where like quarterback drops back and holds the ball, and you can't reasonably expect a linebacker who's already not known for his coverage to be able to lock down for that long for that like that length of time. So. There's a couple of different factors, but I mean, him and Telvin is playing well in coverage too. Telvin's a dude, man. Those guys are playing really well.
Yeah, no, Telvin's having his best season. Like, yeah, I think you hit nail on the head. They're just playing better.
Next.
Yeah. Okay. RK Lee, Yeldon started the game, but Ivory had more carries, yards, and red zone touches. Why isn't he starting?
I don't really think like putting like a label on it like really makes sense. Like who like I don't think like the starter is like the person that's out there for like the first play. Yellen only got like 6 carries and Ivory was in there every single snap there near the goal line. So,
but I mean just to play devil's advocate, and I know Blake had a really, you know, the offense had a really good opening drive, but traditionally they haven't had very good opening drives, and they could stall against the Raiders. Like, would it be a better idea to have the better runner out there starting the game?
I mean, Ivory played more on the first drive than Yellen did, too.
Yeah, that is true.
I think if you're basing the start off who's there for the first play, that's just...
Yellen, they were rotating, like, within... 3 plays, I think.
Yeah. I want to say Ivory got almost.
So it really is like literally just a label thing. Ivory is the starter for all intents and purposes, and really he should be getting more of a workload. The play that I think the end zone fade. I think it was the end zone fade. They should have just handed. They were on like the 1 foot line.
Yeah.
Ivory got them from like the 5 to the 1. I don't know why they didn't just turn and hand him the ball.
And then he scored that 1 yard touchdown later.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's stupid.
Sully, can I ask Sully a question?
Yeah.
Because it's kind of related.
Go for it.
Sully.
What's up?
How do you think that the starter reserve labels and actual workload and timeshare is going to go for the Chiefs backfield, like down the stretch of the season with Spencer Ware and Jamal.
I said all along, I thought the whole plan this year, like a lot of people were high on Charcandrick West, but he was never the staff guy. Like it's, I think it's Ware's job with Jamal playing his role, which is going to be to catch passes and he's going to get some carries. But what you saw last week, I don't know that it'll be that drastic where it's like 24-7 or whatever it was, but it's Ware's job. And they're just going to get Jamal ready for the playoffs, I think. And that's the way it goes this year. Cause Ware's proven, I mean, if you guys seen his like per touch average,
a dude,
yeah, it's like 7 yards per touch he gets. I mean, he's leading the NFL. Like, that's who you want, you know, carrying the load there. So I don't foresee that changing at all. I know Jamal's great, but we need him way more in January than we need him right now.
Yeah, well, the funny thing about Ware is, too, is, like people who knew of him at LSU, like, he always got, like, Marion Barber comparisons just because of that running style and that role. But he was always really functional in the passing game, too, and that's something that people kind of underappreciate about his game. He's actually really, really fucking good in the pass game, too.
Yeah, that's been the most surprising thing this year with him is that. And overall, man, he just looks, like, way more athletic than he ever has. I don't know what he did, but, like, he's got a little bit more wiggle than he used to. He still has that same power, but he can run. You know, before where you would see him get 7 yards, he's getting 11 now. I don't know. He's got a little extra pep in his step, man. Maybe because he knows he's trying to hang on to that lead dog job, you know. But yeah. His functionality in the passing game is I don't think any of us knew he had that.
Right on. All right, Ryan, next. What do we got?
All right. Randy Sutton asked, is there any value with playing Denard Robinson with the way the rushing offense is going?
You mean former offensive rookie of the year, Denard Robinson?
God damn it. Look, I don't care what anybody says. That dude was fucking electric in college. And
hey, he's the last player on this roster to have like multiple 100-yard games, I think.
That's completely. I think that's a good
idea. I mean, Ivory has, obviously, but not for the Jaguars.
Yeah, if you're turning to Denard Robinson to save your running game, then you're in trouble.
That's not the answer.
No.
I've forgotten he's even on the roster at this point.
He's a nice special.
Oh, hold on. No, I didn't because he's great on special teams.
Yeah, he's a good special teams player.
Yeah, he's fucking badass on those.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the one special teams play I've seen him do is him, like, jumping off sides or something, which I didn't know was possible.
But no, more Denard I do not think is the answer. The guys that they have just got to play better.
All right, last question. So with two wins in a row, even if we lose against Oakland and Tennessee, is Gus still here or is he gone?
If they lose to Oakland and Tennessee, if they lose bad to Tennessee, I think that might be the one.
Like you're saying, like if we lose to the Raiders and we lose bad to Tennessee, that's
right.
The one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no. If they beat Oakland, he's not going anywhere.
Right.
For any time soon, the division is still open. Nobody's running away with the AFC South, man.
The problem is going to be this, guys. Is the division's so bad that even with two losses, like, you're never out of this thing. I mean, you guys remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, in week 15, you guys could be – or week 14, you guys could be a 4-5-1 team that's two games out from the playoffs playing the team that you need to beat to get there. So, like, you know, I don't know.
Go ahead. Go ahead and finish.
Well, I was just saying, like, I don't know how, you know – if you're going to make a change, like, I get it. But at the same time, man, like, it's hard to do if you know – if you're going to say, hey, we still got – if they're going to pitch it that way, like, hey, we're still in the playoff hunt, which is what you guys did last year.
Yeah, I mean, they weren't even out of the playoff hunt last year until, like, week 16, and they only had 5 wins up to that point.
Exactly.
So I'm with you. I think it's going to go that exact same way. Like, no change is going to happen until they're officially, like, yeah, there's zero left in this season to play for.
You know what, too? I was thinking about this earlier today. Like, the Chargers game, I mean, there was stuff that you could definitely point to earlier in the season, but in the last couple of weeks, I mean, other than like a couple of play calls on offense here and there, which you could literally do to any team, like say that was a fucking dumb play call or a dumb play call.
It's been
the coaching has not been bad or a liability for this team, I don't think, for the last couple of – I mean, I know they got two wins, so it obviously made it easier to say that. They've improved on stuff, and they fixed stuff that were problems earlier in the season. Most notably, like, how they were using the linebackers in coverage.
I disagree.
Okay.
I disagree completely. You guys came off a bye week against a terrible Bears team, mm-hmm. and you looked like absolute horseshit for 3.5 quarters until you turned it on and the Bears crumbled. Like, there's no excuse to be that unprepared for the first half coming off a bye with 2 weeks to prepare for
who you knew
was going to be a Brian Hoyer and Jordan Howard-led offense.
Right. Well, it's not like the Bears' offense ever really, like, ran away from it. Like, they were up, what, 13-0? That was the most the lead ever got to. So the defense played well. And here's the thing with the offense, and you blame preparation, but I can turn around and blame execution, because I can say that, like, when they came out for their drive, like, the plays that they were running on script and everything, the offense went boom, boom, boom right down the field. And then when they got into, like, the muck into the middle of the game, when you're just, like, calling plays and stuff like that, and dudes got to execute, they weren't executing. So, I don't know.
I'm a little
counter to that.
I'm with you completely.
I don't think that the coaching staff has really been a huge liability. Like, I mean, I don't know how much you can blame coaching when you're just that erratic.
Yeah, I kind of laid it out on Twitter earlier, but, I mean, players execute better for just a few more plays against Green Bay and Baltimore instead of 2-3, they're 4-1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they look really, really unprepared to me. And the offensive script just doesn't look – I mean, I know you said it worked last week on that first drive, but overall this year, man, it doesn't look overly creative, which – now, I watch Andy Reid's offense, which I know we like to make fun of, but his problem is he tries to get too creative sometimes. Like,
right.
Just – it looks really vanilla to me, man.
I mean, when they're playing, like, the way they're playing, though, like, what can you really do? Like, until they start executing better, like, opening up the playbook won't do anything.
Which, that's a good point.
Yeah. I mean, that's the same thing, like, with my argument for, like, no huddle. Again, like, when they mentioned, like, there's not a lot of plays you can call. Well, like, the plays you're calling now, like, they only do, like, a couple not horribly anyways, so.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah, so until they play better, I mean, they're, like, the coach's hands are, like, tied by their execution.
Ryan, next.
That was it, man.
That's it? That's all we got?
That's all we got.
All right. Sully, thank you so much for coming. Are you going to be coming on for when we unfortunately have to play the Chiefs this year? Which is going to be the worst week on Twitter, like, ever.
Yeah, I tweeted out today, but when you guys beat us in Arrowhead, I think my account's going to delete itself. Because I can already imagine who's coming for me on that one.
I'm staying off Twitter that whole game. That's going to be terrible.
It's going to be so bad, dude. next week the Jags have the Titans on Thursday, so I don't know exactly how recording scheduling is going to work out for us. I think we're going to try to have Alfie on to preview the Titans game, but like I said, yeah, I don't know how it might just end up being a recap on, like, Friday after the game. I don't know if we're going to have time to do a preview for it, so we'll see. Everybody, thanks for listening again. Sully, like I said, thank you for coming on. You can follow Sully at SullyFootball. Like I said, he's got an awesome podcast that he's doing. He's got a few episodes dropping every week talking, gambling on NFL and college football, NFL in general. It's a DFS. It's a really, really good podcast. Please keep, like I said, subscribing and reviewing us on iTunes or whatever platform that you are listening to us on. And tweet your questions to the Keep Chopping Wood handle. All right, we'll talk to you guys next week.